Holy Father, there truly is none like you. We can completely place our trust and our foundation in you because, Lord, you never, never leave us or forsake us. This morning, Father, as we come here to worship you together as your family, this part of your family in Cuba, New York, we ask, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you and praise you for the many ways that you have provided us for us throughout this week. Lord, no matter where we are, no matter where we are walking in our lives, whether it is a moment of sheer joy and celebration or one, Lord, of fear and trepidation, we do not have to be afraid because you are our firm foundation. We do not have to hide. We do not have to cower in fear because, Lord, we know that you hold us and you hold our future in your hands. Father, we are so blessed that we don't understand to the level that we are blessed. But Lord, we are grateful. And this morning as we're here and we've come to know you better and come here to know you more and come here to worship you, I pray that you would do a deep heart-changing work in each of our lives in the way that we need it. From the words that are spoken from the front today, Lord, I pray that you would give the individual message that needs to go to each individual person, as different as that may be. And because of that, Lord, because of your great power to speak through our lives, Lord, that every life in this room would be touched and changed in a significant way, in a very significant way that would change your kingdom for all eternity. Lord, there are so many lost and lonely and missing and people who don't know you out there, and it is our job to come here this Sunday to know you better, to fill ourselves up and to go out into the world, to go and make disciples. And Lord, we want to do that, but life can be distracting, and we are asking you, Lord, to take away every distraction. Take away everything that is competing for our attention right now and replace it with you, with your love, with everything that you want us to know for this next week to go out and to make a difference for you in this kingdom, Lord. I pray that you would give us boldness, that you would give us strength, and that we would never, ever waver, knowing that we can trust in you because you are our firm foundation. And because you are holy, and because there is none like you. Thank you, Father. We thank you and we praise you for how much you love us. This morning I pray in particular for Wayne Hall, who continues to be at home receiving his dialysis treatments a couple times a week. Lord, strengthen him. Help him to feel your presence today in a mighty way. Help him to feel your presence so that he knows that he is not alone. Lord, I pray for your continued healing for Linda Bernard, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen her. Thank you for all the days that she's here and how she gets up and she walks around and she works so hard. Lord, I pray that you would bless her efforts and continue to heal her body and work healing in her. Lord, I pray for Pastor John and Ashley and their family as they are grieving the loss of Grandma Aggie. Lord, she was a wonderful Christian woman, and thank you that they can celebrate her life and celebrate the fact that she is no longer suffering on this earth but is with you. And Lord, I pray for a wonderful time of celebration for Ashley's mom as they celebrate her 70th. I pray that they would have a fantastic time of refreshing and return here ready to serve you, more strengthened and feeling more confident in your ability and your power as they rest and rejuvenate this week. And Lord, for those who are traveling, who are out and about in the world, Lord, during this winter break, thank you for this winter break, Lord. And I pray that you would make it a time that would encourage us and that we would be able to get our hearts ready and look forward to spring, Lord. It's only 30-some days away, Lord, and we cannot wait. Lord, thank you again for this blessing. Bless this time. Bless our children. Bless us here. And help us to be changed, to be more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. Hi, guys. Thanks. One behind and one on the side. Kind of like Johnny Carson in The Tonight Show. So I am really excited about today for a couple of reasons. The first is that we need to go over Adam Wojciechowski's top 10 list from what you submitted from last week. And it's a very good list, very
comprehensive list. You guys are fantastic at responding to this. So the first thing that we have is Libby is my rock. That his wife is his rock. I'm assuming that is definitely a positive thing to be called a rock. So Libby is definitely his rock. The next one is walk like your dad. Do you walk like your dad? He walked like his dad. Do you walk like your dad? I was watching Alex the other day because of this and thinking, a little bit. Yeah, Ryan definitely walks like his dad all the way. Next one. Joe's interest in spiritual things reignited Adam's passion for God. Joe wanted to come to Wild Wednesday, and then Joe brought his dad to Wild Wednesday. I don't think I ever gave him points for that. He deserves extra points for bringing a grown-up to Wild Wednesday. But I remember Joe's dad coming to Wild Wednesday towards the end of the year one time, and we were out in the side yard. I think it was our last Wild Wednesday of the year, and we were playing dodgeball. It was great with a PA there in case anyone got hurt, and he was making sure to point out the balls that were the hardest. I'm like, yeah, I know. Isn't it great? But he came and he played dodgeball with us, and I will never forget that. And that's, you know, around the time they started coming to church, so that's pretty awesome. Number seven, it wasn't an even climb until he found North Park. That's something to be said. God can use all of us, and God uses this church, and this is pretty awesome news. And I am so excited about this. This was one of our takeaways from Adam, and it's really nice. That he can say that. Next, we only ate what we grew. My guess is this was Pastor John's. I'm not really sure with his love of gardening. But yes, they did. They grew everything and they ate what they grew and they were on a very limited income and he did a fantastic job with that. So that's pretty awesome. Prayer has always been a big part of his life. And that is important. It should be a big part of all of our lives. And if it's not, we need to work on that. But he's seen the power of prayer in his own life, and he shared that last week, and that is just absolutely wonderful. Number four. Adam's occupation and his calling are one and the same. He's able to witness in life and death situations as a PA at Jones Memorial Hospital. What he does for his occupation is not separate from his vocation. He goes, and he shares God's love through what he does, through his work, and definitely being a PA in an emergency room situation, you rely a lot on prayer. So fantastic. Next, number three. I'm shaped by what has happened to me and am unique as every snowflake is unique. And every snowflake is unique. And I still can't comprehend that if I look at a whole yard full of snow. It's like, how is everything unique? But as I look at us people around the world, God is amazing. God created us. We are unique. And we need to function in the way that he created each of us to be unique. Number two. My favorite home was when all of us six lived in a 600-foot square foot cabin in the woods. That's 100 feet apiece, guys. I need a little more room than that, but yay, that is awesome. That's more like camping to me, but yeah, but that's absolutely, I mean, talk about family togetherness. You can't escape each other. You're going to be close. And number one, you don't know my God. And I think that's something that, a phrase that all of us can use out in the world as we go about, you know, people are doubting and, you know, well, I don't know about prayer and I don't know about this. Well, you don't know my God. And we can say that confidently. You don't know my God because we know our God and our God is really awesome. So thanks again, Adam. I don't know if he's going to be here at the 11 or not, but that top 10 was fantastic. And I am looking forward to another top 10 next week. We're going to have to fit it in at the beginning of the service because today, give me a warm welcome for Deidre Rutkowski. She's newer to North Park. All the way on? Turn it all the way on. Push all the way over. Are you on green yet?
No.
There you go. All right. All righty. Yeah. I am really excited about Deidre. Deidre attends my Saturday morning Bible study, and she's the young one with us old people. And she's such a good, just a gentle spirit. I just love getting to know her. And so when I was like, ooh, I get to do Deidre's interview here, I could not wait because I want you guys all to know this lovely lady, and I am really excited for you to get to know her through this. So we're gonna have some questions. Relax. You feeling good?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right.
I was need a little anything? Nervous about this.
Worried about the mic?
Yeah, yeah, I was. Okay. I was like, oh, it's not on.
No, you're good. You're good. Yeah, just follow the green light. You're good. Green is go. All right. So our first question is, I'm just going to have Deidre tell us a little bit about herself, where she grew up, what she likes to do, her hobbies, her personal life a little bit. So go ahead and
give them a little bit about yourself.
Well, I grew up in Angelica, New York. Sorry, I'm a little congested, so I apologize for that. I sound a little funny.
We're ready.
I grew up with, well, first of all, I guess this is something that molded me. I grew up with a dad that was really abusive, so at the age of 5, he gave me up. He didn't want no part of me after the age of 5. That being said, I grew up with 2 amazing, loving grandparents that I could ever have. Mm-hmm. I grew up with so much love. It was amazing. My grandma, her name was Claire, and I grew up with a church upbringing. Every Sunday, she would take me to church, and it was the Baptist church, so I didn't understand anything that they talked about there at all. It was a lot of
You were talking about King James Version.
Yeah, that's right. The Bible I have, too, and I don't understand it at all. By the way, I got another Bible.
Good.
And I'm loving it.
Yes. Good job. Okay, now you can understand what you're reading.
My grandparents took care of me to the fullest because my mom was a single mom. Raising kids and stuff, so it was just amazing with them. She was like my second mom, and my grandfather was like my father because my dad didn't want me, and I grew up with a lot of love.
You had siblings then?
Yes.
Just one or two? How many did you have?
Well, actually, to be honest with you, I have one that doesn't even know I exist.
Okay.
So I do have a brother.
She's got siblings.
I do have a brother floating out there, but he doesn't know I exist at all. So, but yep, I have a sibling. That being said, I moved out after so long of being in Angelica, branched out, met my husband. Been with my husband for 10 years. I have a stepdaughter. I have 2 amazing little boys. Noah and Jordan, they have the best little personalities ever. And, my hobbies are, I guess aside from being a mom, music and books. I love reading. And
you've indicated baking.
Yes. I love baking and cooking. Mm-hmm. I love doing that stuff. Trying to think on what else my hobbies are this morning. I was trying to think on what I really like to do. And I really do love cooking. Now, the cleanup of it, not so much. But, that's basically a nutshell of my life without going on in further detail.
Okay. So you talked a little bit about your grandparents and your faith background and not understanding church. What did you go regularly to church? Was it occasional to church? What did that look like?
As a child, my grandma took me every Sunday to church. And also... when I was a kid, they did like kind of like Wild Wednesday, but all the churches were around the park circle, and they would all come to the school, and they would pick us up and take us to church school. Mm-hmm. And my grandma would, they would give us verses and stuff, and she would be right on that with memorizing those verses with me, and she was spot on with it.
Do you have any still in your head?
Bits and pieces. I can't like... do it word for word. This is my year for doing that. I'm gonna memorize some verses this year. But every Sunday. Like we would go to church every Sunday and it was fun, but I didn't understand it. I'll be honest with you guys, a little boring for me because I didn't understand what I was learning. Mm-hmm. So
did you sit in an upstairs adult service, or was there a children's message, or how did that work? Do you
occasionally, they would have a children's service, but I'll be honest, like when they taught it, it was really dry and bland, and you just basically learned from the book of it. It wasn't fun and exciting, and I was a kid, you know. I was only like something like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and I'm sitting there like, I don't understand this. This is boring, and...
It's important to make it appetizing, not just education,
yeah,
right? So what? As a child, maybe it was a process for you or not, but when did your relationship with Jesus become real to you?
Well, I had many events in my life that were traumatizing to me as a child going into my teenage years that I won't get into, but if anybody wants to know, I'm an open book, I'll tell them, but I'll probably would take up the whole service if I started chatting about it.
You've got 20 minutes, you're good.
So, I would, as a kid, I had a big, strong upbringing of God, and, you know, especially with my grandma, she was amazing. I can't even tell you enough how amazing this woman was to me. She was just, she's just awesome. And so she was always there preaching to me and giving me that strong foundation. So when I got into my teenage years, from events from my father, I drifted away, when I was a teenager. I felt weird, I felt like I was the awkward kid of the group, and, my dad was really abusive in ways that I don't want to discuss with little kids around towards me. And, for me, it circulated all through high school, which made me the awkward one of the group, and no one wanted to really be my friend. I was that kid. I was the weird one. So I kind of drifted away with depression, and my mom, she, God love her, but she wasn't, she had bipolar. So I grew up with somebody with a mental illness, and I didn't know that at the time. So she wasn't the hugging type, whereas my grandma was, so she made up for it. Mm-hmm. But so I kind of drifted away with all that. And now I know that my mom had that, so now I know how to love her. But mm-hmm. At the time, I did not know. Mm-hmm. So in friends, and then finally making friends, instead of being a leader, and, I followed them because I wanted to be cool. I had no friends. I wanted to be that person. So then I would start following their paths instead of the one that I needed to follow, which was God. Mm-hmm. When it became real to me is when I met my husband. So I'm going to drift down the road now. And when I met my husband and I gave birth to my son Noah, and experiencing that love when I looked at him, it could only be that of God, because Noah saved my life. Mm-hmm. And he was just I love him so much. That's when it became real to me, and I knew that I needed to establish a relationship with Jesus. But at that point in time, I suffered from anxiety disorder, and I was afraid of crowds. I didn't want to be around people because that was my fear. And I kind of drifted. Like, I didn't drift, but I was, like, in my home, but I was, like, I didn't want to come out in public because, I was in Cuba, I didn't know nobody, I was a hermit for like years before I even branched out. I just like staying inside the house with Noah, because mm-hmm. I didn't know nobody. I was like, no one, I kept having that inner talk, like, no one wants to be your friend, like, that was, no one wants to love you, no one wants to be your friend, and that's the way I thought for like the longest time.
Well, your Bible study loves you and wants to be your friend, right, guys? Yeah.
I love that Bible study, by the way. It is awesome. I love that Bible study. It's like the highlight of my week.
They're going to love you, too.
So
you've talked a little bit about the different difficulties you've had in your life, but there is one that is more recent that is probably the greatest heartache of your life at this point, and you are... Okay, yes.
I'm fine. Okay. I can tell them.
I came prepared, all right, because I'm probably going to need this. So why don't you share a little bit about what's happened in your life and your heartache.
I'm going to try not to cry.
I know, it's so hard.
2 years ago, the day that I heard I can do this.
We were okay on Saturday.
I know, but I've been thinking about it all week.
I know, sorry.
But it needs to be told. I gotta tell people.
Okay.
The day that I heard my son's heartbeat is the day that my sister lost hers. Oh, I didn't talk about it earlier, but she was my best friend, the whole entire world. She was amazing, so funny and smart and humor like no other. I mean, she could make me laugh for days. I had gone to hear Jordan's heartbeat for the first time, and I was so excited to tell her all about it because we had talked previous. And it was the week of Thanksgiving, and she had gone to stay with friends. And I kept telling, I was mad at her because Brittany had been fighting drug addiction for a really long time. And that week, we had talked about everything that week. I mean, if we had the best conversation in the whole entire world, and she was telling me, you know, she wanted to get better. She had started coming to church here with her friend, and she was wanting to go back to school. Just amazing. For the first in years, Brittany had sounded like Brittany. Mm-hmm. And I'll have to add in, she was the most amazing aunt to Noah. I mean, he loved her. So I went to Jordan's appointment. And I was listening to his heartbeat, and I remember, and she had asked me to pick her up that day. Mind you guys, I was mad at her, very mad at her, because where she went, she should not have been. And she kept asking me to come pick her up, and my attitude was, you got yourself there, you get yourself back home. Why should I pick up and take care of what... your habit, like you're there, why are you there for? And I was really mad at her. So I had ignored her phone call. The whole ride home from hearing the heartbeat appointment, I kept hearing a voice inside me that I should go and pick her up. I had my mom with me. And she's like, no, Deidre, Brittany should be home. I think they're gonna bring her home. And I'm like, you sure, Mom? And it was like the weirdest day. Her phone wasn't working. It was just something off about that whole entire day. I had gotten home, and my mom had called me, and she's like, she's still not home. And I'm like, what do you mean she's not home? And she's like, well, I'm like, Mom, she'll be home. And like, you know, just trying to make her feel better. And my uncle, who's a forest ranger, had called my aunt, and he's like, Vicki, something's not right. We got a phone call, and there's a 26-year-old girl unresponsive at such and such a residence. And he goes, it's not good. This person, they're dead. Like, where's Brittany at? And my aunt confirmed it. They called me up and told me about it, and I was like, no, I can't be Brittany. There's other people there, too. There's no way it's Brittany. They would not let, they wouldn't talk to me, and they've known me for years where she was at, too. They would not even respond to my messages or nothing. And I remember I got a phone call. And it was my mom screaming that Brittany was gone. And I remember I just dropped to my knees and I cried. And Kyle, my husband, grabbed me and he's like, you gotta try to relax because you're gonna lose Jordan. Mm-hmm. And well, he didn't mean to know it was Jordan at the time, but he goes, you're gonna lose our baby. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just... So I went and stayed with my mom for a day or two, and we had to plan out Brett's funeral, and it was the most heart-wrenching moment of my life. Being said, I'll just add it out there, they just let my sister die they basically were afraid they were going to get in trouble, and they cleaned up their mess around her and just let my sister die. They shut her in a room. Brittany died by herself. And I thought that I would find comfort with her autopsy report, but she had not a trace of any drug in her system, honestly. She had one methadone pill in her system, which she would never have taken that. Because I know my sister all too well. I knew her habits like the back of my hand, because we told each other everything. And they had taken jewelry off her fingers. They stole out of her wallet. It was just, I was so angry at that point in time. I was pregnant. I was angry. I was mad at God for a little bit. I was like, why would you take my sister? Why would you take her for? She was a good person. I loved her so much. Why would you take her? And at that point in time, I was pregnant. I was miserable. My dad tried coming back into my life at that point in time because he used my sister's death as a way to inch himself back in. And after I told him that, you know, like, you gotta give me some time and some space here, he basically told me that I was selfish and that to stay away from my other part of his family, because he had his family, and that I needed to stay away from my cousins and stuff. I couldn't talk to them because he didn't want me to have a relationship with them if I couldn't have a relationship with him. So I was angry at that point in time. I was, like, frustrated. I had a really horrible pregnancy with Jordan. I was sick. I had a lot of, I was high-risk pregnancy for him. Mm-hmm. And, but I will add in, upon cleaning out Brittany's stuff, I had found, you know, journals and stuff, like she had wrote to God. You know, she was really hurting, and she was begging God to take her pain away. Then I had a lot of people come to me, and this is where I'm starting to, like, God was speaking to me. I had people just that didn't even know me that searched for me. And they're like, I just want to let you know that I was going to end my life, and your sister stayed up with me all night and talked to me. And because of her, I'm alive today. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So this is when my attitude started changing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, she's, like, how amazing is she? I love her so much. And, you know, and it gave me comfort. And, it was just more and more people. I must have had, like, a good 50 people come and tell me. I'm like, wow, you know.
So,
like,
this kind of leads us to the next question. How did God sustain you through this difficult, tragic journey?
It sustained me because, I mean, she really spoke to me. Like, God really spoke to me through this. And for me, like, you know, I started finding answers upon her in her death. Like, she had talked, you know, she was talking to God. Just, it, you know, like, through the people that were coming to me, I was like, man, that, you know, this has got to be God talking to me. Like, this has got to be God talking to me. And basically, she had one friend in particular that tried to get me. They're like, come on, come to church. Come to church. So the first thing that, like, I came to here was an Easter egg hunt. And I fought my way through it, guys. Like,
that's
I had a
crazy
lot of anxiety. And she's like, she's like, oh, just come. You know, Brittany was, you know, Brittany started coming here. She says, I think you're going to find comfort in coming. And I'm like, okay. So I brought Noah here. And this was the happiest Noah had been in months upon losing his aunt, because he didn't understand. Mm-hmm. He didn't understand where Aunt Brittany went to. He tried telling me that Aunt Brittany was driving a silver car in heaven, and all kinds of weird stuff. He was just, he's like, he had this, he's like, Mom, she's driving a silver car in heaven now. And I'm like, is she? And he's like, yeah. You know, his little mind. I'm like, oh, you're so funny, Noah. But so I came here, and we went to the Easter egg hunt. And that was, honestly, I'll tell you guys, it was the happiest he had been. And everyone was so welcoming to me. And then I met you for the first time, and you're telling me that you had met Brittany. Mm-hmm. So I was like, wow, okay, she met Brittany. I've hearing all this stuff about how Brittany helped people, because I didn't know any of that about her, honestly. You know, she kind of hid that from me. Mm-hmm. And so then I just, you know, I was like, well, maybe I ought to try to inch myself out out there for a Sunday. So my husband's mom, she's like, I think you'd like it, Deidre. You should probably just try to go. And I'm like, okay. So I went. I was pregnant and miserable at that time still. And so I came out. And so Brittany kind of led me to North Park because she had started coming here, which gave me deep, deep comfort. Then I had Noah, guys, but then that kind of, that was a little bit of trauma for me too. But it's good trauma in a sense because he's okay. But because of my rough time with my sister, mm-hmm. I had a rough pregnancy. And we spent a lengthy time at the McDonald's house up in Buffalo because he was in the NICU, because I stressed myself out being pregnant. Was a little angry about that. And I'm like, you know what? Brittany helped people. Mm-hmm. She really tried to help. Pick yourself up, girlfriend, and get yourself to church. Mm-hmm. So that's what I did. And I picked myself up, and I came to church, and fought through my anxiety, gave up my anxiety medicine, have not had my anxiety medicine in 2 years. Awesome. Because I've told myself all I need for me is I need God, my Bible, and my family. That's what I need.
I think that's making the top 10 right there.
That's, I told myself that. I was like, you pick yourself up.
And I think, you know, there is a lesson in this. Despite Brittany's brokenness, God can use all of us even if we're broken. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be there. God can use you right where you're at, and I think that's pretty awesome. So we're getting out of time here, but I want to ask a question. What advice would you give somebody who has had to go through a tragedy such as this in their life? What would you tell them standing on this side of this tragedy? What would you tell them?
For me, it would be to get in your Bible and read and find comfort in God. And I think he's there, mm-hmm. and you got to listen to him. He talks to you every single day. He talks to me every single day. And that is where I found the most comfort, is because I know that I'm going to see her again.
And I'm really, Deidre has, you know, taken these difficult steps through her tragedy. She has, you know, come here at the Lord's leading, and she's been here. She has been baptized. She got baptized. That showed up on my Facebook page.
Yeah, honestly, I chose the significance of getting baptized a year from my the year from the time my sister died, because I wanted that instead of remembering the day that she died. I want to remember the day that I gave myself to God fully.
That's awesome. And you became a member not too terribly long ago, mm-hmm. and she goes to our small group, and you've really, you've stepped out of your fear and anxiety, you've stepped out of your house.
This is, like, big for me to say in front of you guys.
Expecting her to say no when we asked her. I was like, oh, she's going to say no. No, she's like, oh, sure, I'd love to. I'm like, really? This is awesome. Because Deidre has an amazing story, and she has depended on God throughout it, and she can stand here and be an encouragement to all of us, and I think that's really awesome. So just one more question before we close this up. As someone newer to North Park, I know, and this is like killing you, and I'm going to ask this question anyway. Someone who's newer to North Park within the last couple of years, what is something, well, I'll ask the two sides of the coin. What is something that really helped you become part of this family here? What did we do well? And what do you think we might be able to do just a little bit better to make it easier for someone who's new?
I don't think you guys need to do anything because you guys are so, I told her that earlier. I love it here. It, you know, this church, when I first walked in, it was home. Like, it felt like home to me. Like, everyone was so welcoming, and it was comfortable. Like, I felt comfort, and I don't think, I mean, you guys do so much for me. I love the fact, like, what you guys do for the kids. I love that.
Well, if you think of anything that we should improve upon, because, you know, they're not going to stone you if you tell them.
No, honestly,
okay, everyone break out your rocks. She's going to tell us something bad.
Throw a rock at you.
No, really, honestly, we want to do well because our job is to help people come to know Jesus, and we want them to be welcome. So thank you for that good word, but please, if there's any other words that we need to know, make sure we know them because we don't want to miss an opportunity for someone to have an eternity in heaven.
I really like, I just enjoy it here. So I haven't found anything yet, but I will think about
something. All right, give it some time. We're imperfect, right, everyone? Here we go. So everyone, I would just like appreciate a round of applause for Deidre. She has come up here and shared her heart of hearts. And you'll be back for the 11, so if you want to hear again, have at it. You can switch that now. And at this time, I'm actually going to ask Shannon Albert to come up front. She has asked for anointing. She have been dealing with some issues with her illness, and she would really appreciate the prayers of her church family around her. So I would ask the elders to come up, and then following the elders, anyone else who wants to come and pray, because there is strength in our prayers as numbers, so please, if you feel compelled and God is calling you up here to come lay some hands on your sister and pray for her, I would really appreciate it. They're coming, Shannon. They love you. You've got a herd. I'm going to open, and I'm going to ask Walter to close in prayer, please. Father, I ask right now for your blessing on my sister Shannon, Lord. She has been struggling with this illness for so long, and Father, she knows without question where her strength and her healing comes from, and we know, Lord, that it comes from you. We come here for today asking for you to intervene, for you to do your work in her life. Lord, you are the great physician, and we know that we can depend on you without question, that you are here and you are in our midst, Lord, and that you are shining down on our sister right now. And we ask, Father, that you would comfort, that you would strengthen, that you would heal, that you would help her to feel well, Lord, and that you would put her disease, Lord, at bay, and even better than that, heal it and take it away from her. Lord, I ask for your healing hand that would reach into her inmost being right now, Father, and heal the inflammation and the issues that are going on there, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for the miracle of modern medicine, and I thank you that she has the care that she needs. But ultimately, Father, she needs your care more than anything. And Lord, we are depending on you. We are waiting expectantly to do your work in her life, Lord, and we thank you. Lord, I ask that you would keep each and every person in this herd of people right here, Lord, constantly aware of Shannon's need for prayer, and that they would faithfully bring her to your throne every day, Lord. We petition you faithfully for healing because, Lord, we know that you hear. We know that you care. We know that you have a plan and a purpose, and Lord, we are depending on you. We are depending on you to work this out. Father, I pray for Mike as well as he comforts and encourages his wife, Lord. Help them to know without question that you are the rock on which they stand, that they do not have to be afraid, that they can trust in you, Lord, and we can depend on you, Lord, for her healing. And Father, I pray even today in this very moment, that you would help her to feel well, that you would help her to feel health, that you would restore her health in a way that she could not doubt it for a second, and that she could dance and sing and celebrate and give you the glory and honor that you deserve, because, Father, you are
the healer. You are the lover of our hearts and our souls. And Lord, we know there isn't anything that you would not do for us because you love us so much. Lord, I ask these things in your name.
Yes, Lord, we reiterate what Pastor Megan has said. We thank you for the ways that you work. We thank you that we can rely on the fact that you are present, Lord, that you are working. Lord, that even in the midst of our own unfaithfulness, we can rely on the fact that you are always faithful. So, Lord, I pray that that would be a reminder for Shannon and for Mike during this challenging time, Lord, that you are faithful.
Yes,
and Lord, that
you are.
That in the midst of illness, in the midst of discouragement, in the midst of trials, Lord, we can rely on the fact mm-hmm. that you are ever faithful.
Yes.
That you are ever present, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, I pray that that would be a reminder for Shannon and for Mike during this time, and that they would rely on you, mm-hmm. Lord, that as they journey this road together, Lord, that they would keep their eyes fixed on you and that you would continue to work and do a mighty work in Shannon's body and in her life. Lord, that as she goes through this, that she can testify to the fact that you are working, that you are present, that you are faithful. And Lord, that her testimony might be a witness mm-hmm. to many who need to hear that message. Lord, so use Shannon to be a testimony to your love, to your faithfulness. In Jesus' name.
Amen, amen. Amen. Thank you very much. If the ushers would come forward, we will take our tithes and offerings. If you haven't already, grab the communication books and fill those out on the outside of the pew and pass them back when you're done. And tonight we have one Growing Deeper class left going, and that's Joe Miller's. And so I'm not sure if it's going to be upstairs in the library or downstairs in the fellowship hall, so you might have to check both places if you're attending his class. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us through our work and through our lives, Lord. From the food that we eat to the shelter over our heads to the paychecks provided at work, Lord. And right now we come before you and we give back to you a portion of what you have given to us. And we ask, Lord, that you would multiply it, that you would use it, that you would use it to make a difference in your kingdom for the people here in Cuba and for those around the world, Lord. And as your children faithfully give, I ask that you would bless them tenfold for their faithfulness to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Give me your heart, give me your song, sing it with all your might. Come to the fountain and you can be satisfied. There is a peace, there is a love, you can get lost inside. Come to the fountain and let me hear you testify. Into the wild canyons of you. Oh.
You would rise for the benediction. On your way out today, grab a magnificent red velvet cupcake, courtesy of Roseanne Lorenz. She did a fantastic job decorating those. Don't make me have to find someplace else to take them. They are delicious. You will enjoy them. Lord, we ask today that in our weakness that you would make us strong, that, Lord, even though we may be broken vessels in many ways, that you can use us to make a difference. You can use us to serve and help us to remember that we do not serve in our strength but in your strength, Lord. And we thank you. Lord, help us to go this week in our broken states and be a blessing to the world and give you the glory and honor. In your name we ask these things, and all of God's people said, amen. Go and be the church.